You are listening to Written in the Stars, Books and Beyond, where hosts from the LCC Library sit down with writers, publishers, entrepreneurs, and literary enthusiasts of all types. Join your host, Amy Ewald, Robin Moore, John Salaiji, and Abby Thibault as we explore the very heart of the written word.
Hello and welcome. Summer is just around the corner, and many of us are making our summer plans and looking for new places to explore. We've called in a Michigan travel expert to help us out. Our guest today, Amy Piper, is a travel writer who has published two books, 100 Things to Do in Lansing Before You Die, and her most recent is Secret Michigan, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you for having me, Amy. I'm so excited to be here and talk about all things Michigan.
Yes, yes. And I have my co-host here with me, John Salaiji.
Hello. Thank you for being here, Amy.
Yeah, thanks.
We're happy to have you. All right. So we're going to kind of dive right in with some questions today about these great books and about your experiences and travel writing and everything. One thing that I really enjoyed about your books is that they're not just a travel manual. You know, they're not just a list of places to go and kind of the old guidebooks that you would used to see. They actually have a very cool explanation and what makes this place interesting, some of the history and fun facts about that place. So why did you choose kind of that particular style when writing?
Well, the publisher has a series of books, and it's kind of that series that dictates the style. And I guess I was kind of surprised as I dug into it. It turned out to be just as much of a history book and a trivia book as it did to be a travel book.
Yeah, it has so many fun history facts and, you know, just really neat stuff in there.
You mentioned the publisher has a series. How did you get writing and working with this publisher?
Well, it all started during the pandemic. A bunch of us travel writers in the Midwest Travel Network were kind of sitting around going, okay, what do we do now? I still had a day job, but a lot of them didn't. And one day, a lady that was the co-owner of the Midwest Travel Network, Sarah Browers, called me and said, someone's going to call you, just say yes. Within minutes, a woman named Danelle Gay called me and she goes, will you write the Michigan chapter in a book called Midwest Road Trip Adventures? So that was my first foray into being an author. I'd been a travel writer and blogger to that point. And that book ended up being a bestseller on Amazon. And some of those writers had written with Reedy Press. They said, well, why don't you pitch a book to Reedy? I was like, okay. So I pitched 100 Things to Do in Lansing. I mean, I knew Lansing well because I'd lived here my whole life. And we couldn't go to a lot of places at that point. Many places were closed, but I was still able to pull on what I knew. And then as things opened up, I was able to quickly, because it was all local, just go. Then that book turned out pretty well for a city book. Finally, they said, do you want to write Secret Michigan? And I had gone to Kansas with a woman who was writing Secret Kansas. And we discovered Kansas things. And I thought, well, this is pretty fun. When they asked me to do Secret Michigan, I was kind of familiar with what it was going to take. And it was really driving around and going, oh, what's that?
And yeah, that was kind of our next question was, so all these places, did you go to all these places?
Yes.
Or is it just places you heard about? Or
well,
tell us a little bit about
that. Believe that when you write about something, you can't just sit at home and have any clue to what it's really like. Secret Book was kind of asking people like you, hey, do you know any secret spots? Then it was researching in like Atlas Obscura and online, and then asking visitors and convention bureaus, what do you have that might be a secret place? Some places like Traverse City invited me up and took me to various places, and then I could pick and choose. In the case of Traverse City and Indian River, it was very difficult because they had so many secrets that I had to pick. And then finally, going home after that and just making sure I had all the facts and digging in and seeing what the most interesting things were about whatever place I went to.
So that leads us kind of to another question we were thinking about. All these places you visited, how did you decide what made it into the book and what didn't?
Oh my gosh. Up until the day I was sending it to the publisher, I was putting things out and in. I was like, no, I like this story better or this fit better. So there were a lot of places that maybe didn't make it in because even after I submitted the book to the publisher, I was hooked on finding these secrets. So I was still finding them. One example of that.
Sure.
Since this is a series, there's Secret Detroit, Secret Upper Peninsula. Mine was all of Michigan, so I didn't want to repeat the stories that were already in those other books, even though I would tell them with my own spin. So I did not go to the Ford Paquette Avenue plant where they manufactured the Model T till after I submitted the book, because that was in Secret Detroit. I thought, well, I'm going to put some stuff out on social about various places in Michigan. So I went to that plant, and on the third floor, there was the secret design room that Henry Ford had, and he only allowed about 7 design engineers in that room. And rumor had it that if you approached that door on the third floor and you went in to that room or even just approached the door, the next day you would be fired if you were not one of those 7 people. I mean, if you are familiar with the automotive industry, living in Lansing, you know, when you start the concepts and the prototypes, everything's secret. So I looked, and that story was not in the Secret Detroit book, and I could not figure out why she didn't put that story in there. Well, finally, it was really eating at me that A, I had missed it, and B, she hadn't used it. So I looked, and I finally figured out they had only just created or recreated that room within the last couple of years, and her book was published before that. And that's why it wasn't in there. So I'm sure if she does a second edition, she'll put that in. Yeah.
So that's a room then that you can visit?
Yes.
Okay.
It's in the Paquette Avenue plant is a museum now where they have many, many collections of Model Ts. They also have the secret design room, and they also have a display of a dealership and what it looked like back in the day. They had palm trees for a relaxing environment because cars were a new thing. And actually, I just published an article on a site called Mainly Museums about the Ford Paquette Avenue plant. And
so that
was kind of a miss, but still a great story. So it's out there on social media and that kind of thing.
Yeah. It sounds like you're going to maybe need a part two for this.
That's what a lot of people have said.
Yeah.
A lot of people have said. I mean, there are so many people that are part of Michigan that you maybe don't realize. For example, the Cream of Wheat Man is buried in Leslie. And he isn't in my book. I had him there, took him out. I thought, oh, the marker's not that great of a picture kind of thing. And so, you know, but there are so many people like that you don't know, like Sojourner Truth and Thomas Edison, that you're just like, oh, and the guy who wrote the song, George Bernard, Old Rugged Cross, he wrote that in Michigan.
Wow.
Who knew?
Right,
yeah.
Right. That's what's fun about this book, these obscure sort of fun little tidbits about Michigan that, like you said, you just would never really know about. So that kind of leads me to a two-parter here. So just in general, how long did it take you from the time that you sort of took on writing this book mm-hmm. and to visit all these places and then to get it to the publisher and in people's hands? And then another piece to that is about the research and like how long did the research take?
Well, from the time I signed the contract to the time it was due, it was about a year and a quarter. And then once you submit the book to the publisher, it takes 6 months for it to go from being submitted to being published. And during that final 6 months, there's back and forth. You have the page edits, the line edits, the edit edits. So that took 6 months. But it was tough because, like, for example, I wanted to do the shipwrecks in Shipwreck Alley up in Port Huron. And you're dependent upon the weather for that. And so I had a time booked to go on the tour, and it was in the afternoon. And they called me a couple of days before, and they said, you know, we can tell already that that tour isn't going to go. Mm-hmm. If you want to do that, you're going to have to come in the morning. And so it was like, okay, got to go the night before instead of the morning of, get a hotel to be able to go do that. And then going to Turnip Rock was another Port Huron thing. Many, many people think that in order to see Turnip Rock, you have to kayak. And it's about a 7 mile kayak ride. The last time I tried to kayak, I ended up in Sandusky Bay. I'm just not physically able to do a lot of the things. I have some mobility challenges. So I was like, but I got to see it to write about it. So what am I going to do? Because that was a good story. So I researched and looked for tours, and I was able to find a boat tour, kind of like a bigger than a speedboat, but kind of a speedboat, pontoon boat that would take you out there and ride you around and bring you back. There are a lot of alternative ways to see things that if you think you're not physically able to do it, don't give up because there's options.
That's a great piece of advice. To know, like you said, if you have mobility issues and accessibility issues that, you know, this stuff is not necessarily off limits for you or, you know, you can't do it.
So we talked about your process for the book, but going back to like talking about other places, do people come up to you after reading the book or when you're doing book talks and that kind of thing and say like, oh, you should have included this kind of place in it?
Yes, they do. I'm trying to think of an example, and I can't really off the top of my head, but I have had people ask me, you know, why didn't you include this or that? And it's some of it is, well, maybe I didn't know about it.
Sure.
Maybe I couldn't have gotten there. And I'm a firm believer in writing what I've been. If you read an article on my blog with a restaurant review, you know that I've been and eaten that food. So I think it's partly a trust issue. I was in Tucson recently. I went to a restaurant in a restaurant tour, and I had this wonderful tres leches cake. And I was raving about this tres leches cake. And I wrote about it in my blog, and I went back to that restaurant with another group. I was hosting a group of bloggers for dinner, and I said, oh, order the tres leches cake. And we got the tres leches cake, and I don't know what went wrong in the kitchen.
Oh, no.
But it was not the tres leches cake I had eaten 2 days ago.
Maybe it was. That was the problem.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Maybe.
So to go off the beaten path, so to speak here, bear with me, Amy Ewald. As I said a little earlier, I was looking at your blog today and I saw a post about a trip you had taken to Africa and a national park you went to. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about your trip to Africa and all the animals you saw.
Oh, yes. Well, this is kind of a a scary story, if you will. That same post that I wrote about the wonderful safari that we did in the morning, in the afternoon, we decided, or it was planned in this tour, to take a ride down the Chobe River. It was in a maybe 15-passenger boat with seats, and it was a beautiful day, and we're going down the river. There are crocodiles over there and hippos over there, and my big goal was to get the picture of the hippo with the mouth open because I'd missed it a few years ago when I was in Tanzania. And so I was like, I got to get that picture. And it starts to sprinkle after a bit. Then it starts to sprinkle more. Now, there was a canopy over the top, but I was seated in the front. Everybody else had got on before me, and they said, oh, just sit up there. And so I'm like, okay. And it was really low. My feet are stretched out, but I'm not covered at all. So I'm in the front, and it starts raining more and raining more. Now, they casually handed us life jackets after we got on, so we're not standing. And I don't know that anybody had their life jackets on. We stopped to do some paperwork at the bank of the river, and I tried to put my life jacket on, but it wasn't properly sized for me. So I didn't have a life jacket on, and it starts raining more and more. Then it's thundering and lightning. So they're moving and turning around, and we're begging the tour guide, please take us back. He goes, oh, but we're supposed to be out until 4 o'clock. He didn't want to get in trouble with his boss for keeping us in early.
Oh, yeah.
So finally, our other tour guide said to him, it doesn't matter. It's a safety issue. Take us to shore. He turned around and we're going, and the rain's pelting by this time. There's thunder and lightning and it's scary. And I literally was screaming, I'm afraid that we're going to drown. And we finally got to the shore. We parked. And we were able to go over several other boats. We had to cross boats to get off of our boat because everybody was doing this. I recounted the story to my daughter, and she said, it probably would have been the best case scenario if you had drowned, because remember, there were crocodiles on the side of the banks, and there were hippopotamuses. So if we would have gotten into the water, it probably would not have been pretty.
No.
That was the scariest, and I still need to write that story for my blog.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a good story.
That's a good one. What's your best travel advice?
My best travel
advice. Yeah, you sound like a world traveler here. So and I'll be traveling kind of solo here. You know, what advice do you have for either a solo traveler or just travel in general?
Well, I personally like to take tours, and I like to get involved with the locals because you cannot know the stories that are there. You can look at something and go, oh, yeah, that's nice. But you really have no idea what that is if somebody isn't giving you the background. I mean, you can research it online, but maybe it's something casual that is not really available. So talk to the locals. Lots of times people are willing to answer your questions. A lot of travel writers don't like tours. I think they think it's too confining or restricting. I like it because I really get deep into the information.
Yeah. And what's interesting, too, is in your book, the Secret Michigan book, you have a lot of little tidbits that people have told you and that you talk to. And so kind of talking to the locals again and hearing those interesting stories.
Yeah.
So speaking of Secret Michigan, and summer is coming up here, what is one thing in Michigan people should do over this summer?
Well, I think one of the biggest secrets, or to use a cliche, a hidden gem, is Indian River, Michigan. It's 30 miles south of the bridge. So while you might be paying $250, $300 for a hotel room per night in Mackinac City, you can go to Indian River and go to somewhere like Totem Lodge, which Vice President for Marriott bought, refurbished, and sold. So it's a cute little motel, but it's got about 10, 12 rooms and beautiful Northern Michigan furniture, copper sinks. And, you know, you can go there and there's all kinds of things to do. There's the Inland Waterway. I don't know if you're familiar with the Inland Waterway.
No.
But it goes from Sheboygan to within 9 miles of Lake Michigan. And you can go to Howe Marina, rent a pontoon or speedboat, and then go through that inland waterway. And in Allenson, near Lake Michigan, they have a little museum to that inland waterway. I highly recommend going to Indian River. It's much cheaper. It's nice. And there's a lot of cute little places. They have Big Bear Adventures, which has ATV tours. I tell people, if you want to do a fall foliage tour, yes, you can go to the Tunnel of Trees and everybody and their mom and pop will be there. But if you go to Big Bear Adventures in Indian River and go on one of their guided ATV tours, they have a guide, they'll drive and you can drive yourself, and you're going right through the woods and the colors are bursting around you.
Wonderful. That sounds like a good one. Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one out. What's coming up for you, Amy? What are you working on? What's in the near future for you?
Well, I'm working on I have contracts for two more books. I have a contract for Small Town Michigan, 50 small towns in Michigan, probably going to feature places like Williamston and Quincy and some little towns around Michigan, up to 15,000, but preferably under 10. And so we'll be looking at that, places like Chelsea. And then I'm going to do another book that is somewhat similar to Secret Michigan in that it's history. It's called Unique Eats and Eateries of Michigan. It'll be places that have good food, but the stories behind the restaurant are what's going to be key, like Legs Inn in Northern Michigan. And Gandhi Dancer in Ann Arbor. Oh, yeah. So where am I going next? Tomorrow I'm leaving for Ohio for a couple days, and then I'm going to Nebraska in June.
Wow. Nice. You got summer plans too.
Oh,
lots of summer travel.
But then July and August has got to focus on Michigan to get the book research done.
Sure.
Get the pictures.
Yep.
So if listeners want to read your blog or check out your books, what's the best place for them to visit? Where can they go to do that?
Well, my blog is followthepiper.com. My name is Amy Piper, so followthepiper.com. It's easy to remember. And then all of the local bookstores, Hooked, Novel Concept, all of the local places have both Secret Michigan and 100 Things to Do in Lansing, even Schuller's and Barnes & Noble. All of the local ones have it.
Wonderful. Well, Amy, thank you for joining us today. We've really enjoyed listening about your travels and hearing about Secret Michigan and your other books. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here, Amy.
You have been listening to Written in the Stars, Books and Beyond. Visit lcc.edu/library to find the titles discussed in this episode. You can find previous episodes of Written in the Stars and other LCC Connect shows at lccconnect.com. In the words of Miguel D. Amuno, I hope, reader, we shall meet again and we shall recognize each other.